Amen. Perhaps you just stand once again for a wee word of prayer, just to change your position as we come then to the ministry of God's precious and God's holy word. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege tonight of preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for everyone can say, I do believe, I will believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross He shed His blood from sin to set me free. And, O God, I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou will take of Thy word this night. O God, that Thou will bring conviction of sin. And, O God, grant that there might be mighty conversions, that precious souls will be brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ alone, the One who alone can save us from our sins. So, Lord, be with us now and help us, preacher, to preach. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for His sake and glory. Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 8. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And we're going to read just a few verses from this passage of God's Word, just going through a few verses, and we'll go past some and just to get the sense of what the Lord is seeking to bring to our hearts tonight through the ministry of His truth. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse number 1. And speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. Verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. And when He had said these things, He cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And His disciples asked Him, saying, What might this parable be? And Jesus said unto them, It is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the seed, or away the word out of their hearts, lest that they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believing in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this night, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. And we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious truth for His name's sake and glory. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was always going here, there, and yonder, bringing the word to the hearts of men and women. You notice in verse number 1 of this chapter 8, it says, And it came to pass afterward that Jesus went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And glad tidings, that is the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ was going, and the Bible says, He went throughout every city and village. Notice that. It said He went throughout every city and village. In other words, there was no place too big, but there was no place too small for the Lord Jesus Christ to go. The Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, He went wherever there were sinners, whether there were many or whether there were few. The Lord Jesus Christ was always there in the business of bringing, as the Scripture says there, glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And I'm glad tonight, that's what you preach when you preach the gospel. You're preaching glad tidings. It's good news to poor, lost, and guilty sinners that there is a mighty, wonderful Savior from sin, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was at 12 years of age, and you remember He was up there in Jerusalem, and whenever Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem, and Mary said unto the Lord, you know, did you not know that we were looking for you? And what did Jesus say? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 34, He spoke to the disciples after speaking to the woman at the well. And what did He say? He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. And thank God that's what He did. Thank God it said, Him that sent me, and to finish His work. And remember the scripture says, lo, I come, and the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to do a work, but thank God He came to finish a work. And that's what He did, because remember on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried out, it is finished. Praise God, the work of redemption was done there at the cross. And thank God, everything that is needed for the salvation of a guilty, lost soul, thank God the work was completely done. We can neither add to it, and we dare not take from it, because it is the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now, when you go to verse 4, it says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake a parable. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was to have the days of popularity. There were the crowds that went out to meet the Lord Jesus. But it is also true the Lord Jesus knew what it was to have days of opposition. He knew what it was that whenever He was there going to the cross, the people cried, away with Him, away with Him. We will not have this man to rule over us. And yet here we find that out of every city, much people were gathered together. Yes, days of popularity, but He knew days of rejection. He knew what it was to be rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as the Lord Jesus Christ looked into the face of that congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He spake a parable. He spake unto them a parable. And I want us to look at the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spake unto that crowd. Because let me tell you, in this congregation tonight, there's an application to hearts here. And what I want you to notice, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as He looked into that congregation, He not only looked into their eyes, He looked into their heart. You see, man looks on the outward appearance. It looked good, all that crowd around the Lord Jesus. But as Jesus looked into their hearts, He saw something else. And that's what this parable is all about. Now, I want you to notice, you look as the Lord Jesus, He talked about a sower went forth to sow. Doesn't name him. Because you see, it doesn't really matter who the sower is, as long as he's faithful. The Lord Jesus didn't concentrate on the sower. The Lord Jesus concentrated upon the seed and the soil. But I want you to notice carefully here that the sower was carrying the same seed. It was the same seed in all of these soils. And it was all good seed. There was no problem with the sower. He faithfully sowed. There was no problem with the seed because it was good seed. There was no problem, my friend, with the message that was being delivered by the Savior here. But listen, it was the soil was the problem. And what does that speak about? That speaks about the heart. That speaks about the hearts of men and women in the receipt of the Word of God. Isn't it interesting? All the same message, but four different responses to what's given. Now, there's something that I want to draw your attention to about this sower going forth to sow and this soil or these hearers. I want you to notice every one of them equally heard the same thing. If you look in verse number 12, it says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear." Verse 13, "They on the rock are they which when they hear." Verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard." Verse number 15, "But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart having heard the word." It wasn't that these people didn't hear the word. They all heard the word. It was all the same seed that was sown. It was the same message that was brought. But the response was not the same. And before we come to the individual responses, what I want you to remind you is this. Never take it for granted that you have the privilege of hearing the gospel. Do you know that there are many people in this world tonight and they've never heard it once? Nobody has ever told them the good news of the gospel. Nobody has ever told them that there's a mighty Savior. And there are men and women who are not living, and boys and girls that are living, but they're also dying. They're going out into God's eternity, and they've never once heard. Nobody has ever told them. That's why when our brother talked about the offerings going towards missionaries, why? Because we're supporting those who are taking to those that have never heard this glad tidings, this gospel message of salvation. But tonight you can't say you haven't heard. Because there are many tonight, and you have heard over and over again, you've heard this message. Many are dying that have never heard. But you too are dying. And you carry a greater responsibility. You carry the responsibility of her having heard again and again and again. And yet you're not saved. Notice first of all, in verses 5 and verse 12. Verse 12 is the exposition of verse 5. It talks about the seed that fell on the wayside. Here's the hardened or the selfish or the callous heart. The seed fell on the wayside. In other words, it was the path. It was the strip of ground that was between the narrow pieces of land where the soil was and the good ground was. It was walked over by the people as they traversed. The wheels of the chariots or the wheels of the carts would be driven over it. The horses, they would ride over it. It was the common pathway. There's something about that. It was hard. It was hard ground. Because in reality, it was never plowed. It was just walked over. And it speaks about that ground which is hard. Now, the Bible tells us that whenever the seed falls upon this ground, because it has never been plowed, therefore it just lies upon it. In other words, it doesn't have an effect upon the ground. It's just lying there. And then suddenly, the birds of the air, the Bible says, they swoop down and they take the seed away. They devour it. But it doesn't penetrate the ground because the ground's so hard. And the Bible tells us that whenever in verse number 12, "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, my friend, here's a person who hears the gospel, and friend, that lies there upon that hardened heart because the ground has never been plowed, and my, it is so hard, and it just lies there, and the devil comes and he takes it away, lest that person believes and be saved. You see, the devil wants to damn you, not to save you. The devil has only one purpose, and if you're serving the devil tonight, if you're still unsaved, then you are serving the devil, and you're doing that tonight, I want to tell you, he has only one plan for you, and that's to damn your soul in hell forever. Lest to be saved. He doesn't want you to be saved. And so we find the seed falls upon the hard ground. The hard heart. I wonder, is there a heart here tonight? And your heart's hardened? Absolutely, the gospel has no impression upon you. Because you're not convicted of your sin. You close your mind to it. You close your heart to it. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. Go to verse on down the chapter, and you'll find the demon of Gadara. The Lord Jesus Christ crosses the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to a place called Gadara. And when he comes to the place called Gadara, there's a man that's running among the tombs, and he's crying, and he's tormented, and he's cutting himself, and he's lying there. He has left his home. He's lying there amongst the tomb, among the dead. That's where he feels happiest. And yet he's not happy. He's cutting himself. In actual fact, people try to restrain him. They put chains upon them. They put fetters upon them. But there's nothing. He just tears them asunder. Why? Because he's energized by the power of hell, friend. He's filled with demons. He's filled with the demons of hell. His life's taken over by sin. Let me tell you, why are you not saved tonight? Because your life's taken over by sin. That's why. That's why you're not saved. And the Bible says this man meets the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus mightily and powerfully heals him and delivers him. He casts the demons out of him, and praise God, he's no longer running amongst the tombs. But whenever the people come to see, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed. He once was naked. He's in his right mind. He's not a raving lunatic. He's sitting with a peace of God in his heart. Transformed. Look at verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, how did they react? Were they happy? Were they glad? Here's this man that was energized by the power of evil. This man that could not be restrained even by chains and fetters. This man that was running crying upon the mountains of Gadara with a broken heart, bound by sin. And now he's set free. Are they happy? Look at verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Jesus what to do? To depart from them. All they cared about, my friend, was Jesus, would you leave us? Don't bother us anymore. Get away, Jesus. We don't want you. They besought him to depart from them. What hard hearts. And I'm going to say something to you tonight, friend. Don't you ever tell the Lord if he's speaking to you. Don't you tell the Lord to leave. Don't you tell the Lord, my friend, to leave you to yourself and to your sin. I'll tell you why. Because he can do it. He can do it. Just read on verse 37. And he, that is Jesus, went up into the ship and returned back again. In other words, he left them. He left them. I remember many years ago as a young preacher when I was Dr. Paisley's assistant, Dr. Paisley telling me about a young woman who came to the meetings in the old Ravenhill Road, in the wee church down the Ravenhill Road. She came night after night, Sunday after Sunday, and she was deeply moved. He said, I saw her in the tears running down her cheeks. She was moved. He said, one night, I met her at the door. I begged her to come to Christ, but she left because she had things in the world to do that was attracting her. And she turned her back on Jesus. He said she came back the following Sunday night to the meeting. But the following Sunday night, there were no tears. She just seemed to sit there, just like a pillar, cold, hard. He went to the door that night. He was shaking hands with her. And as he talked to her about her need of salvation, she said, Mr. Paisley, last Sunday night I went home from the meeting, and through the week I was thinking about what you had to say. I couldn't sleep. I was bothered, I was troubled about my soul. And she said, I got out of my bed and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, leave me. And she says, like that, Mr. Paisley. I never had a concern. I got back into my bed. And to tell you the truth, I'll never be back again. Friend, I beg you in God's name, don't act the fool tonight. Don't act the hard man or hard person. There's a people, and the Lord Jesus Christ visited them. They have seen the mighty power of Christ in delivering this poor soul. And all they could say was, Jesus, leave us. Jesus, go. And he did. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. In other words, I'm leaving. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said unto them again, in other words, he had visited them before. He's spoken to them before. But he says, I go my way and ye shall die in your sin. And where I am, ye can't come. In other words, he was leaving them. He handed them over to their sin. How many times has God spoken to you? How many times has the Spirit of God dealt with your soul? How many times has the Spirit of God troubled you about the things of God? I want to tell you, my friend, the Lord was gracious in speaking to you. He could have left you in your sin. He could have let you die in your sin and go to hell, but he put a barrier on your way. Oh, how he loved you. But you're not saved tonight. You jumped over every barrier put in your path. And your heart's hard. And as Jesus looked at that congregation of people and looked into their hearts, he knew there were people who were there. And their hearts were as hard as hell. They would not come. I think some of the saddest words that Jesus ever uttered, recorded in John's Gospel, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." He stood over the city of Jerusalem, and the Savior wept over that city. And I believe as Jesus looked at those people and said those words, the tears are running down his cheeks. He says, "You won't come." And that's why you're not saved tonight. You won't come. Jesus, go. And that's what the people said as Jesus Christ was standing before Pilate. "We will not have this man to rule over us." And if Jesus Christ is not ruling in your life tonight, then the devil is. He's your master. And then the Lord Jesus said this. In verse number 13 it says, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away." What does this mean? Here we have, friend, the hollow and the shallow and the careless heart. The seed, it fell upon the rocky ground, but the rocky ground, there was very little covering of soil upon it. In other words, the soil that was there, and when the seed went into it, my, the warmth of the rock underneath it, my, it was sufficient to give an early sprouting. The warm soil quickly germinated the seed and produced premature growth. But there was no root. Yes, they received it with joy. You say, "Well, surely that's great. They received." Listen, friend. They received it with joy. In other words, they were easily impressed. They were easily moved by their emotions. But it was not, an emotional moving is not salvation, friend. Yes, God moves us by his Holy Spirit. Yes, he does. And I pray that God will take away the hardness, and that God will soften men and women, and that God will give them a heart that cries out after God. Oh, that God would move men and women in our meetings, as God used to do. But there was no root here. See, the reality was this. They came to the Lord Jesus and made a profession. The wrong reason. They received him with joy. In other words, it was a bit of a thrill they were looking for. Now, we haven't time to go into it tonight, but you can take John's Gospel, chapter 6, and you'll find that a great multitude followed the Lord Jesus Christ because of the miracles that he did. Among them, that were diseased. And then the Lord Jesus Christ fed 5,000, and there were 12 baskets over, and my, the people were so excited about this, they wanted to make him king. But the Lord Jesus departed and went up apart to pray. The next day, the people came to Capernaum, the Bible tells us in John chapter 6. And what were they doing? They were seeking for Jesus. Doesn't that sound good? They're seeking for him. And then the Lord Jesus knew what was in their heart, friend. Yes, they wanted the bread. They wanted the miracles. But they didn't want Jesus. And maybe you're here tonight, and I know there's this easy believism that is spreading across, and we have many people, and I've heard about many campaigns, and my, there's hundreds and hundreds of people that are supposed to be getting saved, and where are they? They're exactly where they were the night they made the profession, because that's all they had. The Lord Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. And I want to tell you, my friend, I don't care who the preacher is. If he tells you, all you've got to do is just sign a little decision card, and then you go out and you can live tomorrow as you lived the day before, and you can live like the devil, and yet it's going to be all right in the end. He's a liar. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's a change. You've got to repent of your sin. That's not only be sorrowful for your sin or because you're caught out with your sin. You've got, my friend, to turn from your sin and you turn to Christ, the only Savior, and He changes your life. You see, these people, they received with joy, but listen. But in the time of temptation, the time of testing, it wasn't real. And you know, the professing church, so-called today in many places, they're cursed with professions, but not new creatures in Christ Jesus. And if that's all they have, friend, is a profession, they'll go to hell. Because they need God's salvation. Oh, we've got these prosperity preachers, health, wealth, and happiness. Come to Jesus and He'll make you happy. Come to Jesus and you'll get a bigger bank book. Come to Jesus and you'll have this, that, or the other. I'll tell you this, my friend. Come to Jesus and you'll be saved from your sin. That's what you've got to come to Him for. And the Lord Jesus looked into this congregation and He saw a people. Yes, they wanted the miracles. They wanted the bread. But when Jesus Christ talked about the cost of discipleship and talked about the living bread and the everlasting life, this is what it says. From that time, many of them went back and walked with Him no more. They walked away from Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about another ground. Verse number 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, notice again they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Here's the heavy, the snared, the crowded heart. And once again, the seed falls in. But it falls among thorns. What does that mean, friend? Their heart's already crowded. There's no room for Christ. They're filled with the thistles of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And they hold sway in their heart. You know, a young man came running to Jesus one day. He fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked into the face of Christ and he said, "This good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" But Jesus knew there was a God in this young man's life already. It was the God of possessions. The Bible said he had great possessions. And the Lord Jesus says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You must put all on the altar for the Lord, friend. And the Lord Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor. You say, does that mean that he was saved by good works? No, friend. No, no. He had to have a surrendered heart only to the mastership of Christ. Is Christ first? Now the Bible says, the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to let them go. That's why you're not saved tonight. Maybe it's not possessions. Other things, whatever it is, the Lord knows what's going on. And friend, deep in your heart, you know what the, whatever it is that's keeping you from Jesus Christ is the God in your life. Now what is it? What is it that's keeping you from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God's salvation? To whatever it is, that's the God in your life. And friend, you'll go to hell with it. You've got to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. And that young man wasn't willing to turn. He turned away. The Bible tells us of Felix. The Bible tells us that Felix sat there under the preaching of the mighty preaching of Paul. Drusilla was sitting with him. And he said, go your way for this time, Paul, when I have a convenient season. In other words, whenever, you know, in my time, I'll call for you. 2 years later, friend, he lost his position. And history tells us that he committed suicide. He never got another season. He turned his back on Christ. Paul stood before Agrippa, and there in Agrippa and Bernice were there, and he cried out concerning his soul's salvation. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he wasn't willing to let go of his sin. And he died and went to hell. You see, his heart was filled with the thorns of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Maybe there's someone listening to me tonight and you say, I'd love to be saved, but... Remember years ago, Dr. Paisley telling me about a young woman also that came to his meeting. He spoke to her, she was on her way out concerning salvation of the meeting, and she said, Dr. Paisley, I want to go to the dance at the weekend. Surely God wouldn't cut me off. That surely God would let me get to the dance. On the Thursday afternoon, lived with her mother. She was living in a little house. She was down in the little front hallway and she was scrubbing, washing and scrubbing the step. And the scrubber went out like that. And when they turned her over, she was dead. Surely God wouldn't stop me from the dance. Death did. Men and women, don't fool with your soul tonight. Pleasures. Is that what's keeping you from Christ? Lastly, it says, verse 15, the good ground which is an honest and good heart. That's the honest, saved, converted heart. I want you to show you something in this passage of God's word before we finish. Go back to verse 37, where they said to the Lord Jesus, "Depart." And Jesus went up into the ship and returned back again. Go to verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, in other words, when he came back, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. There's the good crowd. The people in Gadara said, "Jesus, leave us. Go from us." And Jesus did. But thank God, when Jesus returned in verse 40 to the place where he was, it says the people gladly received him. And they were waiting for him. In that crowd, there's a man, his name was Jairus. A man in great need. He fell at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus met his need. In that crowd, there was a woman. She had the issue of blood for 12 years. She was dying without hope. And she touched the hem of his garment. And thank God, Jesus met her need. And then he went to Jairus' house, and there's a little girl. And she was dead. And Jesus said to her, little lamb, I say to thee, arise. And she got up. Jesus met her need. Let me ask you, friend, which one is you? Remember, the Lord Jesus is watching. He's looking in this congregation tonight. He sees far more than I see. He sees your heart. Tell me, what does he see? Does he see the hard heart? Does he see the hollow heart? Does he see the heavy heart? Filled with all the cares of the world? Or does he see the honest heart? Receiving him. Charlotte Elliott, she said to her friend, "What must I do to be saved?" Her friend said, "Charlotte, come to Jesus just as you are." And Charlotte Elliott wrote the words of that hymn, "Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come." What are you going to tell the Lord tonight? You're going to tell the Lord, "No room. Don't need you, don't want you. Lord, don't interfere with my life. I want to live it my way." Or you say, "Lord Jesus, save me. I perish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of men and women that are listening. And as thou dost search their hearts tonight, oh God, give deciding grace. Don't let a man or a woman, boy or girl this night walk away from you and die as the fool without Christ. Die in your sin, and where I am, you'll never come. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to sing that little verse, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Think of the last words, friend. O Lamb of God, I come. Do you make that your prayer tonight? Up in the gallery? Downstairs? Or listening in wherever you are, friend? Will you bow your head before God as we sing these words? Will you make it your cry to God and mean it? Repenting of sin. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's sing the verse just quietly together. And if there's one tonight in this gathering, you say, preacher, I want to be saved. Would you just lift that hand above your head that I'll see it indicate that desire? But I beg you, don't go away without Jesus. I come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Is there one tonight that thou bidst me come to thee? Will you come to Christ tonight as every head is bowed and eyes are closed? Would you lift that hand, indicate that desire? Preacher, lead me to Christ. I don't want Jesus to go away. I come. Heavenly Father, the invitation has been given. And soon the preacher's voice will be silent. But oh God, speak on. Don't let the sinner go on, heedless and careless, to lost eternity. But this night, save them. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm here to help you. If there's someone here tonight and you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to speak to you about eternal things. Then I beg you in God's name, do not leave this service tonight. Come to the inquiry room. Come and speak to us there as others have gone. The quietness there, we'll open the scriptures, we'll show you from God's word. And it's more important that your soul's saved. May God give you grace to come. God bless his word. Amen.